Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations, galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios on this Wednesday evening. Going to be with you for the full three. We ask you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone. Take the Alexa speakers. You can use your tablet. Your Swatch Watch, your iPod Nano, your Nintendo 64, whatever your device is, just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, best way to keep up with us is through our personal Twitter pages. I am at JMCH316. That is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show on the other side of the glass, Day-Day is in the house at the D. Lewis for real. You know, it's Day-Day, something strange has gone on with my Twitter that all of a sudden there was this mass of following from people that all have these fake, phony profiles. Like they're
a bunch of bots.
Yeah. I mean, like, how did they all get my Twitter page?
Something you tweeted and something you tweeted out probably had a word or hashtag in it that those bots are looking for. And so that's what that is.
I mean, it's usually wrestling,
usually.
Falcons, Wendy Corona. No, but I mean, it's weird. Like all of a sudden, all these fake profiles that are just the most phony, and like they've all got no followers to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you look at their, you know, like you can hover over the name of the Twitter. They all got 0000 2
All bots. Yeah.
Oh,
something
my God.
Something you either tweeted or responded to or something.
It is what's his name? Elon Musk, is he going to clean all this up? Is he going to get rid of all these bots for me?
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Man, he should have a little bit more sympathy for me on all this. But yeah, it's just the dumbest thing imaginable. And I mean, it's so fake and phony. You know, I'm telling you, I get so many fake phony DMs from people. I mean, literally, I get a good amount of DMs from legitimate people. But I'm talking about I get so many, hey, I can help your crypto portfolio. Hey, do you want to meet up? Like you're in like Kazakhstan, Russia or something. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like it's just, again, I thought, you know, it was going to be different, you know, on Twitter. But I guess it's, you know, now we're doing X. So anyway, it's just ridiculous. So. All right, getting ready for Braves baseball here tonight. Braves did get pounded last night. Funny that two of the guys that, you know, had a hand in all that all of a sudden end up on the IL. I guess Soroka's saying that he doesn't have feeling in his fingers or something. How did he not know that before he pitched? That just came on after the game last night and he couldn't pitch very well. All of a sudden he said he didn't have feeling in his fingers, and then Colin McHugh's got right shoulder inflammation after he was dreadful and got pounded around last night. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not saying that there's gamesmanship, but there's a lot of fishiness to some of this stuff. So, you know, just convenient that, you know, when the two guys just got pounded that have not pitched lately or pitched well, and all of a sudden now everybody's hurt. Now everybody's hurt nowadays. So, anyway, it's just crazy. So Spencer Strider will get the ball tonight. We'll talk about that in just a second. But your lineup tonight, Ronnie, Ozzy, Riley, Olsen, Ozuna hitting fifth tonight. Rosario, Murphy hitting seventh, Arcia, and Michael Harris. And we'll talk more about Michael Harris coming up at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. It's interesting because Michael Harris has played the same exact number of games last year and so far this year. And we'll kind of compare and contrast a little bit. But, Day-Day, you know, you and I were talking about the idea of who may be the leaders in the clubhouse for the National League Cy Young. So when you look at I think the three guys are Ian Snell, Justin Steele, and Spencer Strider, right? I think that's the three clear-cut favorites. Snell has the highest wins above replacement for a pitcher. Steele is third. Strider is eighth. ERA, Snell is first, Steele is second, Strider is ninth. Now, he's a full run behind those two guys, but he's still in the top 10. As far as wins, Steele and Strider lead the National League in wins. Snell is tied for sixth in wins. Whip, Strider is number one in whip. Steele is number seven. And Snell is not in the top 10. Strikeouts. Strider number one. Snell number two, who's over 200, by the way. And Steele is not in the top 10. He's only got about 140 strikeouts. Innings pitched. Strider is ninth. The other two guys are not in the top 10. So that's the other part of this, too, is that, you know, Snell's innings pitched is not a very high number. He's been really good, but his innings pitched is not very high in that. So, again, you know, we'll see what happens when all is said and done, but I think that's the three clear-cut favorites. And, you know, I think it's going to be a fun race to see, you know, do the writers, I should say, do they reward a Spencer Strider for playing on the best team in baseball? You know, part of, I think, what Ronnie's appeal is that he's the best player on the best team in Major League Baseball. There is something to that. So, Spencer Strider, does he get some benefit of the doubt? Again, I still think that if he leads the league in wins and he has 300 strikeouts, it's going to be hard not to vote for Spencer Strider. That's not a situation. And look, and guess what? We got Bally's on. They just put the graphic up about Strider, Snell, and Steele. They literally got the graphic up for it. So obviously they were listening in to what I just was saying. So they put a quick graphic together and are putting it up. So see that dating? So again, we're influencing everywhere. So even the Bally's folks who are what? Are they
next door?
Yeah. They're in the building next door to us, right?
Another tower. Yeah.
All right. So they're in the building next door, but obviously they've got a pipeline in to what we're saying. So they help.
Chuckery influences everything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the way it rolls around here. So so we'll see what happens tonight. Again, Braves got pounded by a last place team last night. They need to get things turned around. Should be no reason to lose any more games to the St. Louis Cardinals, who are our last place team, and then what? I think they get ready for Pittsburgh, who, if it wasn't for the Cardinals, they'd be in last place themselves. So, again, we talked about this last night. There's a lot of wiggle room in the schedule. It didn't matter necessarily even what the Braves did against that. It was great what they did against the Dodgers, but at the end of the day, it probably wouldn't have meant as much because Braves have a pretty easy schedule. Seven of 10 to finish off the year against the Washington Nationals. Cardinals are a last place team. Pirates are second to last. They've got a lot of winnable series here. And obviously the Braves have pounded everybody and they've really been good against teams above 500, but there's a lot of last place teams and bottom feeding teams that they're going to play here in this final stretch of the season. So it all starts tonight. Hopefully Strider goes out and really shuts them down and has about 12 strikeouts tonight with about 7 innings and a run, and Braves get back on track after getting pounded last night. Just 24 hours away from NFL foosball as the opener, and don't forget, 92.9 The Game is going to have the NFL all season long, so we've got the Monday night game, we've got Thursday night game, so we're going to have all the NFL action covered. So obviously tomorrow night, Detroit versus the Chiefs, and a lot of questions about the Chiefs right now. You know, Chris Jones is complaining about his contract. Travis Kelce looks like he may not play. You know, there's a lot of question marks about what the Chiefs are right now in the short term. And look, Detroit, we talked about Detroit all through the offseason. They're an up arrow franchise. Who'd they draft? Didn't they draft? They drafted a bunch of wide receivers, didn't they? Over the last 2 years, huh?
No.
What?
Not at all.
Oh, well, they did. Well, certainly they didn't draft offensive and defensive line or anything, did they? I mean, over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they kind of did.
What?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Is that maybe kind of why one of the reasons why they're up arrow? Anyway, Detroit's a game team. I mean, I don't know if they're going to win, you know, tomorrow night. I mean, again, obviously a lot of emotion. Chiefs have the Super Bowl trophy in hand. I'm sure that they're, what are they having, like the big ring and trophy ceremony and all this good kind of stuff, and there'll be a lot of emotion, you know, around that game or what have you. So, but again, if Chris Jones and Kelce aren't playing in that game, that certainly gives an opening to the Lions, so we'll see what happens. I did see an interesting stat from what's his name? Ed Werder from ESPN? Guy used to cover the Cowboys, right? I guess quarterbacks drafted number one overall the last like 15 years in their season opener are like 14-1 or something like that. Like I saw, there was a weird stat. Like there hasn't been a quarterback that's won on opening day in like 15 years or something like that. That was drafted number one overall, or the last. I shouldn't say 15 years because again, other players have been drafted number one. But quarterbacks that have been drafted number one overall the last 15 times they've played opening up a season, they've lost. I think it's like 0-14-1 or something crazy like that. So, again, they haven't found a way to win. So, Obviously, that's good news for the Falcons. I mean, you know, again, we need every bit of good news we can get out of all of it. But we'll have the game coming up tomorrow night, Chefs and Detroit. We'll talk to our friend of the show, Tori McElhaney. We'll get you ready for Falcons foosball coming up on Sunday. Is obviously that will be a 1 o'clock kick. 11 o'clock will be pregame. That'll be Chris Goforth, Mike Johnson. They'll have all the pregame action and postgame action with you as well. And then the toe meets leather at 1 o'clock. Wes Durham and Dave Archer will have the call for all of that as the Falcons get underway from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So we'll talk, and we'll be talking to Tori McElhaney all through the season on Wednesdays as we are around, if there's not soccer or something like that going on. But we'll talk to her on Wednesdays to get you ready for the game. We will hear from Arthur Smith, both in the Falcons flyover from his presser today and as he joined Dukes and Bell. And I guess they were all together, right? Because Dukes and Bell were up in Flowery Branch.
Yeah, every Wednesday they'll be with Coach Smith, and then they'll get a player as well.
Are they in the closet, or were they in the actual
studio? They were in the actual Ticketmaster studio, yes.
Okay, so they were actually in the studio.
Yes. Well, right. At least that's what that's where they were supposed to be. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Where were we?
Well, I was here.
Well, yeah, true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Me and what was the engineer's
Jersey
name?
Mike.
Crazy Mike. Yeah. Me and Crazy Mike were, you know, moving Swiffers out of our way, mops, dusters, vacuum cleaners, the mop buckets that are on wheels and all that, like we were moving that stuff out of the way. So, we got out of the closet, thankfully. We finally got out of the closet anyway. But we'll talk to Tori, and we'll hear from Arthur Smith as well. And like I said, we'll keep up to date all night long about what goes on with the Atlanta Braves. So, again, we've got football tomorrow night, high school scoreboard show. Where are you going to be officially?
So officially I will be at the Miller Grove and Campbell game. At Miller Grove will be hosting.
Okay.
Both teams coming in at 2-1. Two-game win streaks for both of them. So one of them's going to be able to keep some momentum. The other one's going to take a step back.
Okay. I don't know who Woodstock or Cherokee. The Woodstock and
Cherokee is playing.
Woodstock and Cherokee played last week, and Woodstock got crushed by Cherokee.
Yeah.
Cherokee just crushed them.
I saw Cherokee. Cherokee has an away game because I was going to ask you if you were going to go to it, but I can't remember who they were playing.
I don't even know. I can't remember. It's not Etowah. Etowah's coming up soon.
It might be Etowah.
Maybe it is Etowah.
Yeah,
might be Etowah. Might go to that because again, I'll be having to take my daughter and everything. So that's my ex-wife's alma mater.
Okay.
Too, by the way,
that should be a good game.
Yeah, is Etowah any good this year? I mean, Cherokee's been kind of hit or miss, but
yeah, Etowah. I want to say they're a little bit of a slow start for them, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But shout out to their softball team. Softball team's doing really good.
Okay, all right, good for that. So. All right, when we get back, thoughts about the matchup on Sunday as we get you ready for football action coming up with the Falcons and Carolina Panthers. Get your thoughts as well, 404-726-0929. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuckery Show, hanging out here in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That's both our phone line and our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line as Braves get underway here. Spencer Strider's about to throw the first pitch, and we're underway from Truist Park. Sunday, though, we get NFL football as Falcons and Panthers meet up. You know, last 2 years, they have split the series. Obviously, the Falcons won that game in overtime. Probably, fortunately, they won that game in overtime because, again, Carolina, they kind of snatched a victory from the or snatched a defeat from the jaws of victory. And then, of course, that Thursday night game, the all-timer of all-timers, the Marcus Mariota game, which that game will forever be known as the Marcus Mariota game. That was probably the low point of the season for the Atlanta Falcons, and it probably should have signaled the start of the Desmond Ridder era, but, you know, again, it's, you know, probably could have even been before all of that, but, you know, certainly that felt like it should have been the jumping-on point for Desmond Ridder because the season was not going anywhere after that 25-15 victory for the Carolina Panthers. Now, though, you know, if you look statistically last year, and in some ways if you look at what these franchises are, you know, they were very similar in a lot of the statistics last year from both an offensive and especially a defensive standpoint. You know, when you talk about passing yards, rushing yards given up, points per game given up. You know, they weren't necessarily exact mirror images, but they were very close to one another in most offensive and defensive categories. Save rushing yards for the Falcons. I mean, that was the Falcons finished third in the league in rushing, and the Panthers had 35 sacks. So that's the two big numbers that really separated the Falcons and Panthers. Falcons were a really good rushing team, unlike what the Panthers were. But obviously the Falcons, or I should say the Panthers, made it up on the defensive side of the football, gaining 35 sacks to the Falcons 21. Now, when I look at this game, I think this game is all about the Falcons' defense and putting pressure on Bryce Young. And look, these two teams have overhauled their offenses and added different pieces and stuff like that. You know, obviously Jonnu Smith, Bijan Robinson, but obviously the Panthers have, you know, wide receivers, Bryce Young now at quarterback. I mean, you know, again, they have a new head coach on Frank Reich, who's an offensive-minded guy who did wonders for the Philadelphia Eagles and Nick Foles and Carson Wentz and all that when he was there, you know, as they were going to the Super Bowl that season. So, again, I know expectations are high, but as we said, you know, first drafted overall quarterbacks, you know, have not had a good time of it over their last 15 starts. So when you look at that, a lot of things favor the Falcons in this game. And I think it's all going to be about the defensive pressure and keeping Bryce Young out of rhythm, keeping him from getting comfortable, keeping him from just being able to settle in the pocket and make plays. Yes, Bryce Young can make some plays with his legs. That's not what he wants to do. And he didn't even do that at Alabama, by and large. He was a guy that wanted to stand in the pocket and spread the ball around. Now, he obviously had, you know, a whole bunch of first-round NFL caliber, you know, receivers and, you know, all the personnel that he had over his, you know, few years in Alabama. But still, you know, he's a guy that wants to play from the pocket. And if you can get him off his spot, make him uncomfortable, force him into some throws, you know, hopefully, you know, if they decide to attack our outside corners, which, again, outside of A.J. Terrell, I think that that's going to be where the Panthers are going to attack in their passing game is who's ever our second corner. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about in the top of the hour, and we'll talk about this with Torrey McElhaney coming up in about 15 minutes about just kind of where we're at on the injury report. But certainly, you know, you probably won't pick on A.J. Terrell as much. If it is Jeff Okuda or if it is another starting cornerback, you probably pick toward that side. You probably don't pick toward the middle of the field. You probably pick on what our second corner is. So you've got to be up to the challenge, but you've absolutely got to get pressure with your front. Now, for the Falcons offense, I think the real key is when they decide to throw it, you've got to protect Desmond Ridder. Now, Brian Burns did practice today. Now, again, there was speculation about whether or not he would play on Sunday. Would he be playing against the Falcons? And he said, Frank Reich has said that, you know, Brian Burns hasn't made himself a distraction. That was the quote from Frank Reich. But obviously, we will see, and if they're you know, is issues, and he was, like I said, at practice today. So, you know, if you figure that he's going to play, you've got your hands full on that defense. With Shaq Thompson, Brian Burns, Derek Brown, you know, they have a lot of good personnel on the front part of their defensive line. And that could create some problems. And again, you got a rookie guard, second-year center, a right tackle that has had his issues when it comes to pass protecting, not so much in the run game. So that's why I said, you know, yesterday we were talking about this. I don't know how much the Falcons really throw in this game. I think they want to control clock, control possessions. You know, again, we probably don't really know much about the Panthers offense just simply because we don't know much about the quarterback. They could be a very pedestrian offense. Or, obviously, they could be a spectacular offense because Bryce Young is all world. I probably fall somewhere in the middle. This doesn't feel like an offense that's going to be able to put up a huge amount of points. So you're not necessarily going to get into a shootout with the Carolina Panthers. And obviously, that wasn't, you know, they weren't shootouts last year. But you are going to have to be productive running the football. And especially as we've talked all season long about, or all offseason long, is being productive in the red zone. So I think the two keys are you've got to be able to put pressure on Bryce Young, keep him out of rhythm, not let him get comfortable. You know, you can't have him complete 9 or 10 passes in a row. And, you know, again, all of these things that go along with making a rookie quarterback comfortable, you can't allow him to do that. Because by and large, they don't have a ton of offensive personnel, right? They lost their best wide receiver in that, DJ Moore. So, you know, you don't have the same personnel on your offense, and obviously they traded away McCaffrey last season. So you don't necessarily fear some of the guys that they have, but you've got a quarterback that if he can keep on his game, he's a guy that obviously was worthy of the number one pick and a Heisman Trophy winner. He's got a lot of talent, a lot of ability. But don't let him keep comfortable. Don't let him get in a rhythm where he completes 9 or 10 passes in a row. Keep him guessing. Keep him under pressure. Keep him under duress. And let's see what happens. And again, offensively, you know, I think the game just, you don't want to expose yourself and get yourself into long distances by taking sacks with the Burns and Thompson and Derek Brown, those guys. Like, you don't want to get yourself behind the chains, as they say, right? You want to keep everything in front of you, keep the chains moving in front. And, you know, obviously that starts a lot with running the football. I don't expect it to be a very high-scoring game. I don't think either one of these teams is apt to want to huck it around. You know, we'll see if one team finds a way and they get out to a decent lead, you know, what happens from there. But I don't think either one of these teams, I think both these teams kind of play it close to the vest. Like, you don't want to take too many chances and get, you know, either somebody out in front or, you know, get too far behind or whatever. So, again, I think it's control the clock on offense, be really good in the red zone. And, you know, I would tell you, as I said yesterday, I think Desmond Ridder is probably in that 22 kind of range, 22, 24 kind of range as far as pass attempts go. You know, I don't think that they will throw it 30 times in this game. Just be efficient in the red zone. Keep the chains moving. Pick up your third downs. Don't get yourself into third and longs. Force some third and longs for the Panthers. Force them to have some third and 13s, third and 15s. But I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game. And I think the Falcons at the end of the day come away with a victory. There's no reason to think, again, I said this yesterday, lie, cheat, steal. Eddie Guerrero, whatever you have to do, find a way to get a victory. Because you don't even want to think about the idea of being down 0-2. You don't want to think about that at all. You want to control your own destiny, and that starts with beating Carolina at home in the division, you know, starting off the year, which, again, would be the first time that they have won an opening game to start the season since 2017, which coincidentally is the last time the Falcons were in the playoffs. And then, look, you know, again, Green Bay, you feel like if you can beat Carolina and you get Green Bay next, I mean, that's certainly a winnable game. We don't, and we've talked all season about this, we don't really know a lot about these teams. We don't know what the Panthers are going to be like with a Bryce Young. We don't know what the Packers are going to be like with a Jordan Love. We don't know about some of these quarterbacks. You know, we don't necessarily have a feel for what these quarterbacks are going to be at the end of the day. You know, and then you get Detroit in week three. You know, that's going to be an interesting game. That's going to be on the road. You know, it'll be their first road test. And look, if, say what you will, if Detroit finds a way to beat Kansas City, you feel like that they've got a lot of momentum. Get off to a good start, and you feel like that they'll have a lot of momentum going into that week three game. I think it's going to be one of the more intriguing games of the year is week three with the Falcons and the Detroit Lions. It's going to be a really good road test for the Falcons. If they can find a way to come out of that with a victory, that will be a quality win for the Falcons. But thankfully, you know, there's no style points, there's no Harris poll, there's no BCS committees or anything like that. So whatever you have to do, find a way to win. Find a way to win. If it's 10-9, if it's 4-3, whatever it is, find a way to win on Sunday. And don't let Bryce Young find himself in a rhythm, being comfortable, make his life miserable. And by the way, they've got questions on their offensive line as well. If you look at their offensive line, they definitely have some questions. And, you know, who knows? When you have a rookie quarterback, Bryce Young will probably run himself into a sack or two, right? Just by, you know, not having some of the awareness, he'll probably run himself in a sack or two. So let's see if the Falcons can get off to a, I'll say, 3-sack start. We're going to get 3 sacks in the game. We're going to get 3 sacks, and Ebikadi's going to have one of those. How about that? Let's go hot take. Hot take Tommy. Falcons have 3 sacks. Ebikadi has 1. Falcons win it 21-17. All right, Tori McElhaney, when we get back, we'll talk some more Falcons with her. Chuckery hanging out in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, 929 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we continue to get ready for Falcons, Panthers, coming up Sunday, week one in the NFL. Falcons at home, and, you know, hopefully it is all good news after the game. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. We'll be talking to her all season long, Tori McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check her out and follow her on her personal Twitter page, at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight. As we get ready for an official new season, we're ready to go, and it can't come here soon enough.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just ready for some real football.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, give us a little bit, what do you think your gut tells you as far as Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, I know, you know, again, we got kind of some updates, and he was a partial participant in practice. We saw Mike Hughes back. What does your gut tell you about a couple of these players, whether it's Okuda, Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, what are you thinking their status is going to be at the end of the day?
Yeah, so I think when you're kind of looking at a guy like CP and a guy like Mike Hughes, those are two guys that I think it wouldn't strike me as crazy at all to say that they could be back on Sunday and be ready to go for week one, even though they haven't been fully practicing in a couple weeks. I do think that you could probably put the ball in CP's hands right now and he'd probably be okay. So I think it's not something that I think is, you know, every single time they talked about it, it's like soft tissue. And sometimes those things just need some time off just to heal, and they've had, I feel like, plenty of time. They've had a lot of time. So if they're around 100%, they'll be good to go. I think Jeff Okuda is maybe a bit more of a question mark for me. Now, I'm also not saying that CP and Mike Hughes are going to go out there on Sunday, but I think they have more of a likelihood than Jeff Okuda just because of the nature of the injury and the fact that they have been limited, and Jeff Okuda hasn't made it out to the field just yet. I think it probably could be a few more weeks for him.
Do you think there's any chance he goes to a short-term IR if this thing is going to go 2 or 3 weeks before he's going to be ready? I mean, is that kind of still on the table, do you think, for him being on short-term IR?
Possibly, but with the IR rules right now, it's if you go on IR, you have to miss 4 games. Mm-hmm. So if they were to have put him on IR, you know, this past week, and said, you know, okay, he's going to miss the first 4 games of the season, then okay. But if they have any inkling that he could potentially be back in week 2 or week 3, then there's no need to put him on IR because then you're kind of blowing him for 2 games that he could possibly be back.
So, you know, Torrey, when you look at this matchup, you know, and I know it's a different season. That these teams are completely different, you know, than what they were last year. But, you know, it was kind of striking just how many similarities. I mean, they're not mirror images, but, you know, they were pretty close in a lot of the numbers that they had. I mean, save sacks, you know, the Panthers were pretty much drastically better than the Falcons at sacking the quarterback, but the Falcons were drastically better at running the football. But when you look right at, like, scoring, pass defense, rush defense, yards per carry, like, there's a lot of similarities between these two teams.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, too, because you kind of feel like both feel like they're kind of at the cusp of something. You don't know what direction this thing is going to go in, I think, for either team. And something that I think is actually pretty intriguing and why I think I'm so excited that Carolina and Atlanta is the week one matchup for the Falcons is because it almost feels like this is going to be a coach's chess match to a certain extent, because neither team really has a lot of good looks on what either side is going to do offensively, or honestly, to be completely honest with the Falcons defense, there are so many new pieces that you don't know what that defense is really going to look like either. So, I mean, Jerry Gray today said there are a lot of things that we haven't shown on film yet in the first three preseason games. So I just think there's a lot out there that we just don't necessarily know about these teams and how they're going to operate when it comes down to the wire on Sunday. So that's something that I think when I'm looking at these two teams and where they are, that's something that I'm actually pretty intrigued about, because it feels like it's going to be, one would hope, good football.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Falcons reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com. One thing, let's talk about our favorite thing in the world with the Falcons, depth charts. But I was excited to see D. Alford be listed as the first team punt return guy. And look, I'm excited about him getting a chance. And look, I would love to see Avery Williams out there. I love Avery Williams, and right, I think he does so many good things, not just in the punt return game, but obviously, you know, his offensive and where he's had to play all over the field. But I'm excited to see D. Alford. I mean, maybe it's a small thing, but I am excited to see what he can do. And, you know, again, hopefully he gets some opportunities and some chances to show. And look, who knows what can happen, but I liked what I saw in the preseason. And that's at least one thing that, you know, is kind of maybe a little bit fresh or different than maybe what we thought going into the season. I'm excited to see what he can do back there.
Yeah, I am too. And I think this is a guy who went out and earned that spot. I mean, I remember at the very beginning of training camp, it felt like it was a competition for that spot with like four or five, maybe six guys that were consistently fielding punts during training camp practices. And slowly but surely, as the preseason went on and, you know, injuries happen and then you have a cut down and et cetera, et cetera. But D. Alford was the last man standing. And I think when you look at what he was able to show, even just in that one return that he had against Miami and kind of that ability, I mean, this isn't someone who I don't think has fielded a ton of, has been a big-time punt returner at any point in his career. I mean, I think he's only had I don't even want to say a number, but I don't think it's a pretty significant number in terms of how many punt return yards he's had over his entire career, whether it be college or CFL or whatever. But he's somebody who I think has established himself as somebody who wants to go. He really is a guy who I think wants to go out and make an impact. And I think that he's done that so far in the preseason. It's something that I'm really excited to see come Sunday.
So I'll ask you a question that my producer and I were kind of talking about. So if I give you the number 25 and a half, do you think Desmond Ridder throws more passes or throws fewer passes than 25 and a half?
I think it's going to be fewer. I think if you can stay around that number, that's maybe where you want to be. But I do think that the Falcons have something really special in terms of what they're able to do when they run the ball. And I don't think they're going to get too far away from that, especially when you have – when you saw what a guy like Tyler Allgeier did just, I think, in and of himself last year, the fact that you now have Bijan with him, and let's be honest, even though Bijan has a bunch of abilities as a pass catcher, I do think that he's still a running back through and through, and I do think we're still going to see him have traditional carries. So I think if you, I think the Falcons are good if they're right around that 25, but I think just in terms of maybe the first, I don't know, the first game and just trying to get your feet wet, a young quarterback's best friend is a solid run game. And I think you don't want to push, I wouldn't want to push it too far in week one. No.
Yeah, and as great minds think alike, I mean, I think the number's going to be about 22 to maybe 24 because, and I think the other thing too is, and it looks like Brian Burns may end up playing. He did practice today, so obviously there was a question mark about contracts and different things like that. But I think the other part of it too, Torrey, is I still think that there is some questions about how good in pass protection our offensive line is. And, you know, mm-hmm. is Caleb McGarry a guy that can handle a bigger load in pass protection? You know, obviously the interior of our offensive line. And look, you got Shaq Thompson, Brian Burns, Derek Brown. Like, there's some beasts up front for Carolina's defense. Yeah. And I think part of that is just not getting too far behind the chains and taking too many chances in the passing game and not accumulating yards for it.
Right, yeah. And I think, don't get me wrong, I think that, you know, the guys are going to have their targets, and I think that Desmond's going to have plenty of opportunities to throw the ball on Sunday. But I just don't want, like, I don't want people to go in there thinking that Drake London is going to have 12 targets. I mean, heck, he may, but and there's always an opportunity for that to happen. But for me, if I'm just kind of just looking at what the strengths of this offense still is, it's still running the ball. That hasn't changed just because you have a new person in at left guard, I don't think. Like, I do still believe that this offense, it kind of hinges, the success of it hinges upon how solid this ground game can be and how they can continue to pound the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I agree with you. Torrey McElhaney joining us here from AtlantaFalcons.com on the Wade Ford .com hotline. And look, I've talked about this, you know, repeatedly here over the last couple few days that I think the key to the game is the defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. Can they keep pressure on Bryce Young? He's not a running quarterback, but he can make plays with his legs. But you don't want him to get comfortable. You don't want him completing nine passes in a row. You don't want him to feel good. I mean, you know, I really do think that this is where Ryan Nielsen is going to have something up his sleeve where they try to get consistent pressure on Bryce Young.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to something that Jerry Gray said today, and Jerry Gray's the assistant head coach defense, and his role is kind of in the secondary, but he was making such a good point where he was like, our goal going into this game in week one is to make Carolina uneasy. And I thought that word uneasy was such a good word to describe how they want to impact a young quarterback. If you have a hand in his face, 9 times out of 10, he's going to feel uneasy. He's not going to feel comfortable. And I think the less comfortable Bryce Young is, the more opportunities there is for the Falcons, obviously, as a defense to make some plays and maybe cause some three and outs. And so I really think that if that's the contingency that they want to live in, if that's the plan that they want to live in, and they even said, you know, yes, we're. It was funny because Jerry Gray was like, yeah, we're playing defense and everything like that, but we want to go on the offensive sometimes. Like, we want to go up and attack, and that's what we want to be. That's who we are. So I think, like, actually being able to see that series in and series out, drive in, drive out, that is where this defense can really make a stand.
And, you know, last thing for you, Torrey. You know, I'm going to be curious to see where Carolina attacks this defense because, again, it's not in an immensely talented, you know, group of skill position people, but you do wonder about, okay, do they pick on the second corner for the Falcons? Do they take, you know, a Hayden Hurst and attack over the middle of the field? Like, I'm going to be curious to see just kind of what Frank Reich has up his sleeve as far as where he decides to attack this defense.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, there's going to be some times where Frank Reich gets the best of this defense. But mm-hmm. I think it goes back to kind of the first point that I made when we were talking. It's like, this is going to be a coach's chess match. This game is because the Falcons don't have any tape of this Carolina offense with Frank Reich calling the plays and Bryce Young as the quarterback and all their other pieces. I mean, they don't have tape on that. But simultaneously, Carolina doesn't have tape on the Falcons either. So it's really going to be about the in-game adjustments. And, okay, if they have an explosive play, how can the Falcons defense come back and actually make a play in and of themselves to kind of keep things moving in the right direction that they want it to move in?
Tori McElhaney, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. She'll be joining us here all season long, and she joined me on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Give her a follow on her personal Twitter page, at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, thank you so much. And, look, we'll be looking forward to talking to you all season long.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from the head coach and the quarterback, plus a couple other news and notes as PFF hands out their preseason awards. And guess what? The Falcons are involved. Aren't you excited, Day-Day? With that fresh dew back there. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios Wednesday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, we continue to get ready for Falcons, Panthers coming up Sunday, week one in the NFL. Falcons at home, and, you know, hopefully it is all good news after the game. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Let's talk to our friend of the show. We'll be talking to her all season long, Tori McElhaney. She covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. You can check her out and follow her on her personal Twitter page at Tori_McElhaney. Tori, as always, thanks for a few minutes on the show tonight. As we get ready for an official new season, we're ready to go, and it can't come here soon enough.
I couldn't agree more. I'm just ready for some real football.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, give us a little bit, what do you think your gut tells you as far as Cordarrelle Patterson? I mean, I know, you know, again, we got kind of some updates, and he was a partial participant in practice. We saw Mike Hughes back. What does your gut tell you about a couple of these players, whether it's Okuda, Cordarrelle Patterson? Like, what are you thinking their status is going to be at the end of the day?
Yeah, so I think when you're kind of looking at a guy like CP and a guy like Mike Hughes, those are two guys that I think it wouldn't strike me as crazy at all to say that they could be back on Sunday and be ready to go for week one, even though they haven't been fully practicing in a couple weeks. I do think that you could probably put the ball in CP's hands right now and he'd probably be okay. So I think it's not something that I think is it. You know, every single time they talked about it, it's like soft tissue, and sometimes those things just need some time off just to heal, and they've had, I feel like, plenty of time. They've had a lot of time. So if they're around 100%, they'll be good to go. I think Jeff Okuda is maybe a bit more of a question mark for me. Now, I'm also not saying that CP and Mike Hughes are going to go out there on Sunday, but I think they have more of a likelihood than Jeff Okuda just because of the nature of the injury and the fact that they have been limited, and Jeff Okuda hasn't made it out to the field just yet. I think it probably could be a few more weeks for him.
Do you think there's any chance he goes to a short-term IR if this thing is going to go 2 or 3 weeks before he's going to be ready? I mean, is that kind of still on the table, do you think, for him being on short-term IR?
Possibly, but with the IR rules right now, it's if you go on IR, you have to miss 4 games. Mm-hmm. So if they were to have put him on IR, you know, this past week, and said, you know, okay, he's going to miss the first 4 games of the season, then okay. But if they have any inkling that he could potentially be back in week 2 or week 3, then there's no need to put him on IR because then you're kind of blowing him for 2 games that he could possibly be back.
So, you know, Tori, when you look at this matchup, you know, and I know it's a different season, that these teams are completely different, you know, than what they were last year, but you know, it was kind of striking just how many similarities. I mean, they're not mirror images, but, you know, they were pretty close in a lot of the numbers that they had. I mean, save sacks, you know, the Panthers were pretty much drastically better than the Falcons at sacking the quarterback, but the Falcons were drastically better at running the football. But when you look at, like, scoring, pass defense, rush defense, yards per carry, like, there's a lot of similarities between these two teams.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting, too, because you kind of feel like both feel like they're kind of at the cusp of something. You don't know what direction this thing is going to go in, I think, for either team. And something that I think is actually pretty intriguing and why I think I'm so excited that Carolina and Atlanta is the week one matchup for the Falcons is because it almost feels like this is going to be a coach's chess match to a certain extent, because neither team really has a lot of good looks on what either side is going to do offensively, or honestly, to be completely honest with the Falcons defense, there are so many new pieces that you don't know what that defense is really going to look like either. So, I mean, Jerry Gray today said there are a lot of things that we haven't shown on film yet in the first 3 preseason games. So I just think there's a lot out there that we just don't necessarily know about these teams and how they're going to operate when it comes down to the wire on Sunday. So that's something that I think when I'm looking at these two teams and where they are, that's something that I'm actually pretty intrigued about, because it feels like it's going to be, one would hope, good football.
Torrey McElhaney joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Falcons reporter for AtlantaFalcons.com. One thing, let's talk about our favorite thing in the world with the Falcons, depth charts. But I was excited to see D. Alford be listed as the first team punt return guy. And look, I'm excited about him getting a chance. And look, I would love to see Avery Williams out there. I love Avery Williams, and right. I think he does so many good things, not just in the punt return game, but obviously, you know, his offensive and where he's had to play all over the field. But I'm excited to see D. Alford. I mean, maybe it's a small thing, but I am excited to see what he can do. And, you know, again, hopefully he gets some opportunities and some chances to show. And look, who knows what can happen, but I liked what I saw in the preseason. And that's at least one thing that, you know, is kind of maybe a little bit fresh or different than maybe what we thought going into the season. I'm excited to see what he can do back there.
Yeah, I am too. And I think this is a guy who went out and earned that spot. I mean, I remember at the very beginning of training camp, it felt like it was a competition for that spot with like four or five, maybe six guys that were consistently fielding punts during training camp practices. And slowly but surely, as the preseason went on and, you know, injuries happen and then you have a cut down and et cetera, et cetera. But D. Alford was the last man standing. And I think when you look at what he was able to show, even just in that one return that he had against Miami and kind of that ability, I mean, this isn't someone who I don't think has fielded a ton of, has been a big-time punt returner at any point in his career. I mean, I think he's only had I don't even want to say a number, but I don't think it's a pretty significant number in terms of how many punt return yards he's had over his entire career, whether it be college or CFL or whatever. But he's somebody who I think has established himself as somebody who wants to go. He really is a guy who I think wants to go out and make an impact. And I think that he's done that so far in the preseason. It's something that I'm really excited to see come Sunday.
So I'll ask you a question that my producer and I were kind of talking about. So if I give you the number 25 and a half, do you think Desmond Ridder throws more passes or throws fewer passes than 25 and a half?
I think it's going to be fewer. I think if you can stay around that number, that's maybe where you want to be. But I do think that the Falcons have something really special in terms of what they're able to do when they run the ball. And I don't think they're going to get too far away from that, especially when you have when you saw what a guy like Tyler Allgeier did just, I think, in and of himself last year, the fact that you now have Bijan with him. And let's be honest, even though Bijan has a bunch of abilities as a pass catcher, I do think that he's still a running back through and through, and I do think we're still going to see him have traditional carries. So I think the Falcons are good if they're right around that 25, but I think just in terms of maybe the first – I don't know, the first game and just trying to get your feet wet. A young quarterback's best friend is a solid run game. And I think you don't want to push, I wouldn't want to push it too far in week one. No.
Yeah. And as great minds think alike, I mean, I think the number's going to be about 22 to maybe 24 because, I think the other thing too is, and it looks like Brian Burns may end up playing. He did practice today. So obviously there was a question mark about contracts and different things like that. But I think the other part of it too, Torrey, is I still think that there is some questions about how good in pass protection our offensive line is. And, you know, is Caleb McGarry a guy that can handle a bigger load in pass protection? You know, obviously the interior of our offensive line. And look, you got Shaq Thompson, Brian Burns, Derek Brown. Like, there's some beasts up front for Carolina's defense. Yeah. And I think part of that is just not getting too far behind the chains and taking too many chances in the passing game and not accumulating yards for it.
Right, yeah. And I think, don't get me wrong, I think that, you know, the guys are going to have their targets, and I think that Desmond's going to have plenty of opportunities to throw the ball on Sunday. But I just don't want, like, I don't want people to go in there thinking that Drake London is going to have 12 targets. I mean, heck, he may, but and there's always an opportunity for that to happen. But for me, if I'm just kind of just looking at what the strengths of this offense still is, it's still running the ball. That hasn't changed. just because you have a new person in at left guard, I don't think. Like, I do still believe that this offense, it kind of hinges, the success of it hinges upon how solid this ground game can be and how they can continue to pound the ball on the ground.
Yeah, I agree with you. Torrey McElhaney joining us here from AtlantaFalcons.com on the WadeFord.com hotline. And look, I've talked about this, repeatedly here over the last couple few days, that I think the key to the game is the defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. Can they keep pressure on Bryce Young? He's not a running quarterback, but he can make plays with his legs. But you don't want him to get comfortable. You don't want him completing nine passes in a row. You don't want him to feel good. I mean, you know, I really do think that this is where Ryan Nielsen is going to have something up his sleeve, where they try to get consistent pressure on Bryce Young.
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to something that Jerry Gray said today, and Jerry Gray's the assistant head coach defense, and his role is kind of in the secondary, but he was making such a good point where he was like, our goal going into this game in week one is to make Carolina uneasy. And I thought that word uneasy was such a good word to describe how they want to impact a young quarterback. If you have a hand in his face, 9 times out of 10, he's going to feel uneasy. He's not going to feel comfortable. And I think the less comfortable Bryce Young is, the more opportunities there is for the Falcons, obviously, as a defense to make some plays and maybe cause some three and outs. And so I really think that if that's the contingency that they want to live in, if that's the plan that they want to live in, and they even said, you know, yes, it was funny because Jerry Gray was like, yeah, we're playing defense and everything like that, but we want to go on the offensive sometimes. Like, we want to go up in the attack, and that's what we want to be. That's who we are. So I think, like, actually being able to see that series in and series out, drive in, drive out, that is where this defense can really make a stand.
And, you know, last thing for you, Torrey. I'm going to be curious to see where Carolina attacks this defense because – again, it's not in an immensely talented, you know, group of skill position people, but you do wonder about, okay, do they pick on the second corner for the Falcons? Do they take, you know, a Hayden Hurst and attack over the middle of the field? Like, I'm going to be curious to see just kind of what Frank Reich has up his sleeve as far as where he decides to attack this defense.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, there's going to be some times where Frank Reich gets the best of this defense, but mm-hmm. I think it's, and it goes back to kind of the first point that I made when we were talking. It's like, this is going to be a coach's chess match. This game is, because the Falcons don't have any tape of this Carolina offense with Frank Reich calling the plays and Bryce Young as the quarterback and all their other pieces. I mean, they don't have tape on that, but simultaneously Carolina doesn't have tape on the Falcons either. So it's really going to be about the in-game adjustments. And, okay, if they have an explosive play, how can the Falcons defense come back and actually make a play in and of themselves to kind of keep things moving in the right direction that they want it to move in?
Torrey McElhaney, she covers all things Atlanta Falcons for AtlantaFalcons.com. She'll be joining us here all season long, and she joined me on the WadeFord.com hotline. Give her a follow on her personal Twitter page, @Torrey_McElhaney. Torrey, as always, thank you so much. And, look, we'll be looking forward to talking to you all season long.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
You got it. When we come back from the top of the hour, it will be time for the Falcons flyover. We'll hear from the head coach and the quarterback, plus a couple other news and notes as PFF hands out their preseason awards, and guess what? The Falcons are involved. Aren't you excited, Day-Day? With that fresh dew back there. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 910 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.